Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Durrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John begins a new series entitled, Stop Living in the Past. Human beings are sentimental, which makes it easy for us to live in the past. But doing so will have a crippling effect because it is hard to move forward when you are stuck in the past. In this first message, Pastor John stresses that faith is the key to success. But if it is absent, then your life will be mediocre and filled with defeat. Sadly, most Christians are not aware that they are living in defeat and never take any action. In order to break loose, it is important to detect lack of faith and identify the defeats in your life. If you're living a victorious life, this message will be a great reminder of your success. But if you are not, this message will help you to identify where you are and what you have to do to cut loose. It is entitled Part 1, Admit Your Problem. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, March 14th, 2010. I'm starting a new series, Stop Living in the Past. I hope you will enjoy this. It has helped me just to write it. It's going to help us to get moving. We're not going to live in the past. And today, the first installment we have is, admit your problem. Admit your problem. Let's stand for prayer. Well, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now. That, Lord, we can get into some positive teaching here, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that we can break loose from the past. And we can start living in the now, prepared for the future. And I ask you now, my Heavenly Father, you will help me to share this message, speak through me, help the people to receive, help them to understand, and help them, Father God, to break loose. And I thank you for that now. And I give you praise and worship in Jesus' name. And those who agree said, amen. You may be seated. Let me begin by giving you an illustration. It used to be in old days that they would have chickens taken to the market. And this was before they had all the different things. They would simply take the chickens at home. And they would tie up their legs. And they would, so they would be tied up. And they would simply lay them down in rows, in boxes. And that's how the chickens came to the market in a city. So when they were traveling like this. Their legs were bound, had bound over their wings. And they just laid there and couldn't do anything. Now, the chickens, when they got to the market and they were going to sell them, the owner or the seller simply cut the cords. But now something had happened to the chicken's brain. The binding was gone. The cords were gone. But that chicken would lay just like this. He was no longer bound, but his mind said, I am bound. And he just lay there and wouldn't go or do anything. This is what the devil has done with us. On Highway 65 that we have to travel every time we go to town, for 20 years, that's been a freeway there now, but for 20 years there's that one light, one traffic light. And you know that travel 65 years always backs up there. Well, praise God, last week, this week, they simply took it away. They built the bridge over, and there's no more light there. But guess what happened when we came up the first day? The light was gone. Everybody slowed down, looking for the light. And we crawled 20 miles across under the bridge, and we realized there's no light. It's going to take us some time to, you know that we don't have those ties anymore. And I really want you to think about this because of past defeats, past behavior. You simply are intimidated. And when you try to be praising God and get excited, someone remind you, who do you think you are? Remember what you did. Oh, well, how long is this going to last? Let me read for my outline now. Every believer in Christ has a filing system that is used on a daily basis. Now you got the two filing drawers there, compliment of Charles Turrell. I had boxes. He said we can do better than that. We can file things by design, or we can take no action. And then they are filed by default. Each one of us has two filing cabinets that most of us do not even know exist or that we are using and abusing them. The first one is, it is impossible. Filing cabinet none. The second one, all things are possible. Every day, every moment in your life, you are making split decisions. Is this possible or is it impossible? Boom, 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 like this. Every day you make those decisions. And by default, most of us file all our stuff in. It is impossible to do this. Now, Joe didn't come up here today and share a testimony, so I'm going to share the testimony for Joe, and it might not be exactly the way he told me. But you remember a few months ago that we had a frantic call from Eric Sims and Patty. It was cold. Their furnace was down. Didn't work. Remember that? Remember they had a crack in the furnace? Inside? And did we pray over here? We did. They prayed over. Matter of fact, I told them this. Then I get them a call and said, now, when you, matter of fact, I think I told it when we had a webcast. I said, go down in the basement, take some oil, throw some oil on that furnace and pray and simply ask God to heal that furnace. Well, you know what happened? The crack is gone. They can't find it. Now God isn't healing. He can heal anything he wants to. So I talked to Joe this morning and I said, how are things going? He says, fine. He said, I got a little miracle. I said, tell me more. Well, he had a truck. And he's driving a truck, and the truck just died just like quick. And you know, when you drive a vehicle, you don't know what's wrong, anything like this. So he prayed. And the Holy Spirit said, electrical problem. He called a friend of his, a mechanic, whatever he is. And the guy said, the way that stops is you got a solenoid that controls your pump for the fuel injectors. Check that. So Joe checked that. Sure enough, there was a loose connection. Little ingenuity, solder iron, and the truck was up running again without even having to go to the shop. Now, that is supernatural knowledge revealed by the Holy Ghost. Joe could have simply said, cars are so complicated nowadays. Everything is computerized. You know, this is going to be an impossible thing. We're going to have to take this to the shop. It's going to cost a lot of money. But he simply took it to the filing cabinet. All things are possible. This last week, you had all kind of issues. And the question is, how did you solve them? Or did you solve them? Or did you simply say, well, this is impossible. It can't be done. Look at the outline now. You will face challenges which demand a decision every moment that you are awake. Most believers in Christ have very little faith. And when they are confronted with a challenge that is going to take some effort to handle, they are resigned to the fact that the situation is impossible to handle, and by default, it is filed as it is impossible. Let's work James chapter 1. Now, the difficulty we can face can be a car, it can be a job, it can be finances, it can be marriage, it can be a number of different things. Have you got to make a decision? How are we going to file that? How are we going to work that? James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or trials. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. Years ago, I preached a series called God's University of Faith. You are on this earth for one purpose, to get saved and to be educated. God wants us to grow in faith. The only time we grow is when we have a problem. Let's say you go to college. You want to have an education. So you pay a good sum of money and you go to college. What do they give you in class? They give you problems. They simply says, man, solve this, solve this, solve that. You are paying people to give you problems. So the students now weren't thinking, look up. That's on my desk. So here you are now facing a problem. And God is simply saying, I want you to solve that. Because in the next life, you're going to be in supervisory position. Can you imagine? Let's just take someone, a traffic controller. And he's working in a control tower. Let's put him in New York. And you have maybe 200 flights coming in every hour. Flights coming in all the time. Flights going out. Here you are, a flight controller now. He has to sit on that screen. He has to check his numbers. He speaks this, speaks that, checks everything out. How can he do that? Because he trained on a simulator. And had problem after problem after problem after problem until he finally learned how to handle it. You don't want to have a flight controller that says, I don't know what to do. What do we do with this airplane? And the other guy says, I don't know. Park him someplace. Send him up 10,000 feet in a pattern and there he goes around. Another one calls and says, I'll be running out of gas. We need to come down now. I don't know. I don't know what to do. You want a flight controller that is together, cool, collected, and his emphasis, this way, this, come, go, do this. You don't want a flight director or controller that brings his child to the job and have the child to work the microphones. Now, so brace yourself now. God is going to give you problems. He's going to give you problems to solve. It is easy. God is not going to say, I'm just going to pick someone out here. He's not going to pick up Thomas Burns and say, and have, you know, someone deliver 10 bottles of whiskey to his house. And then watching what Tom's going to do with it. He might just use it to clean the toilets with. But Thomas is going to get a problem that's going to get under his skin. So you have to work your emotions. So the problem God gives you are in the area where you are weak, not strong. It's like a dentist. He always goes for the bad tooth. And he stays there until he's done. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. That means he's not angry with you. And it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven to wind and tossed. For let not a man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Here's what we need to do now. You need to have some stamina. Now, I used to be an immigrant. I guess I'm always an immigrant. But I'm an American citizen. And I came to this country in 1963. My English was not that great. And finally ended up working in an office, in an engineering office. I knew my stuff in Swedish. But here they spoke English. I decided this. Since I'm in America, I better learn to speak English if I want to get someplace. I had with me dictionaries. And on the job, I always had dictionaries with me. And as I worked, there was a word I couldn't understand. I got a notepad, wrote it down, and I asked my supervisor, how do you pronounce that word? Can you pronounce it? And I practiced. Every night when I came home, I would have a list of maybe 25 to 30 words that I did not know. And every night, I worked and worked and worked on these words. I also knew this, that when you learn another language, you learn the words, then you think in your native language, you translate in your head, and you shoot it out. That is a slow process. And I told my wife this. Now, remember now, she spoke very little English, but you're always intimidated of your wife or your husband. So I said to Aina, I said, ma'am, we are speaking no more Swedish. We're going to speak English. Don't you think I felt stupid when I asked her for this or that? I spoke in broken English, tried to do this and that. I felt stupid. But I knew this. I had to force my mind to think in English. You can't shoot fast unless you think in that language. Someone asked me today, what are you thinking in? English. When I speak Swedish, I have to think now to translate back. Because it is impossible to keep two languages parallel at the same level in your head unless you are a genius and you have at least a four-core processor. Now, the reason I'm sharing that with you is this, that when you meet a problem, you simply say, what can I do? What have I to do? What will God do? And then you go at it. You stay with it. You do not budge. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. If you have problems reading, writing, speaking, working, whatever it is, simply say, I'm going to master this. And you can master it if you put your mind to it and you let God in. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven by the wind and tossed. For let not a man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. To have faith is the same as having a strong body. If you want to build up your strength, stamina, and health, you must exercise regularly. Eat the right kinds of foods that are free from preserved and GMO ingredients. And make sure that your body is given plenty of water that is free of chlorine and fluoride. If this is impossible, you have to stand on Mark chapter 16. And let's turn to Mark chapter 16 right now. Remember this. If you got a boat, don't try to walk on water. You drown. But if you do not have a boat and you have to walk on water, you can do it. I had one amen on that. The rest of you says, I don't know about that. A little bit too deep. Mark 16, verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that have been to seminary. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Are you a believer? In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Let me ask you this. Now, if you are a believer, when was the last time you cast out some demons? Some of you did and some of you haven't. Here's the problem. Let me go back to my chicken story. God has set you free, but you still have your legs like this. I'm a nobody. I believe, but I don't believe. Listen. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, why is it that we cannot have that? I talked to this gentleman in Indiana this week. And I said, well, share about your life story. He says, well, you know, I'm not sure if I'm saved. And I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that. The guy was just apologizing all over the map. I said, let's stop right here. I said, Nahum, when did you accept Christ? Well, he said there was a time in a certain space or time that he asked God to forgive him. He asked Jesus to come in. He surrendered and he prayed a sinner's prayer. I said, did you mean that? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Let me leave you here with Mark and turn me right now to Romans. I want to drive home a point. Romans chapter 10. We got a gunslinger on the computer. He'll be there in no time at all. Romans chapter 10. And we read here from verse number 9. That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. I said, Randy, did you do that? He says, yes, I did. For with heart man be raised unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Did you confess? Yes. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe he died on the cross? Do you believe he rose on the third day? Do you believe he died for your sins? He said, yes. I said, fine. For the scripture says, whoso believes in him shall not be ashamed. I said, you don't have to be ashamed anymore. For there's no difference between a Jew and a Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. And I said, Randy, read 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said, are you a whosoever? Yeah. Have you called upon the name of the Lord? Yes. But what happened then? He said, well, I'm saved. I said, wow, what a revelation. The word of God says you're saved. Now turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Up a couple of books. Ephesians chapter 2. Because he's talking about, you know, he's not doing things enough. Ephesians 2, 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. That of yourself, it is a gift of God. I said, Randy, how much money do you pay for your gifts? Hello? How much do you pay for your gift? If somebody come out and give you something, how much do you pay for it? If you have to pay for it, it's no longer a gift. A gift is free. Have you read again? For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus the good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, watch me. You and I do good works because we are saved. I am not doing good works to be saved. I'm doing good works because I am saved. Now, if you are saved and you're a believer, turn back to Mark again now. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils? They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, you need to sit down and read these scriptures. And then ask yourself this, why am I not doing this? And the answer is, somebody intimidated you. And you're tied up like the chickens. The cords are gone. But you are still remembering that you were bound. Verse 19. So that after the Lord has spoken to them, He was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming what? The word. Not them. But he confirmed the word with signs following. Amen? That's what it says here. What is God confirming in your life? His word. Why then are we not doing it? Now, you need to build your faith. When I was about 40 years old, and I shared it with you before, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "Now, how do you want to exit this life?" He said, "You want to exit that in a wheelchair? Or do you want to walk out? Because I want to die healthy. I'm not going to die sick. I'm going to die very healthy. I'm going to be here one day, next day I'm gone." So I said to the Lord, "I want to walk out. When my time comes to go, I want to walk out. I don't want to be in a wheelchair when they wheel you out." He said, "Exercise." Well, you know, that's work. That's sweaty. Since I'm 40 years old, I work out at the gym. Get my wife, try to drag her down to go to the gym. And here's what I learned. If I work out every week, I'm feeling good. There have been times I've been nasty. And I didn't go for 4 or 5 weeks, one reason or the other. And when I come back to the gym, after I've been gone for 5, 6 weeks, and I start pulling my weights again, I notice something. The muscles are not there. My brain says, "Pull." My muscles says, "Ooh." And you know what I have to do? I have to start from scratch again. Go down to lower weights, work it, you know. Find out, build it up when I can pull some good stuff. And the worst thing that can happen to a guy at a gym is when you come up to a machine and a lady has been there. And you look at the weight and she pulled 85 pounds. And you're working 40. Ooh, that hurts. But I've been smart enough to know this. That if I'm going to get this, well, I'm going to pull the 85 right now. I'm not ready for it. I got to work up to it. It feels good when I see someone have to lower the weights after I've been on the machine. Okay. Feels good. You got to exercise your faith. Turn to Romans 10:17. Romans 10:17. And you know what I found out is that most people that do not do anything in God's kingdom do not read the word. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. You want faith? You got to start reading the Bible. Now, there are two ways of reading the Bible. First, you need to do what we do with a computer. You need to download this program. You start by reading a chapter or two a day. Just read it through, maybe half a chapter. Just read it slow and just download it. And in 1 year, you've been through the whole Bible. Then start over again. Read it. Then you look for specific verses like we're doing now. I'm doing topical teaching. If you want faith, read the Bible. Now, if you tell me, you know, I'm a gung-ho Christian, you know, I can do all these different things, and I want to do this. I said, are you reading your Bible? No. You're a fool. It's like going to the gym. You never worked out before in your life. You say, hey, put on 100 pounds. I'm going to push that. You know what's going to happen? You're going to try to push it and nothing's going to happen. And you realize, I don't have the muscles. If you're not in the Word, don't complain. Did you hear that? If you're not reading the Word, don't complain. Eat it. Whatever comes your way. Let's turn to Mark 11 now. Mark chapter 11. If you pick it up in the 11th chapter, here we go. Some of you look a bit bewildered this morning. I don't know if I like this or not. Mark 11, 12. And on the morrow, when he had come from Bethany, he, Jesus, was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if happily, he might find anything thereon. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said to it, no man eat fruit of you hereafter, forever. And the disciples heard it. Jesus spoke to the fig tree. Fig tree, no man eat fruit of you hereafter, forever. The spoken word. What happened? Same chapter. Verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by and they saw the fig tree dried up for the roots, and Peter called it, wow, did you see that? And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Trees normally dry up from the branches down. It was dried. It died. And Peter couldn't remember, said to him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. Notice the words cursed there. Curse is to speak negative. It doesn't mean that you got to use a profanity. When you speak negative, you are cursing. When you speak positive, you are blessing. Jesus answers unto them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. For verily said to you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be ye removed and be ye cast into the sea, and shall not doubt his heart, but shall believe that the things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be ye removed, be ye cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that though things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Your speaking will bring victory or defeat. We got some Spanish-speaking people in this church. And God gave us a translator in Spain that I had never met. And this man sits and translates the sermon outlines. To give our Spanish-speaking people a little extra, every week they arrive here, they receive the outline in Spanish from last week. You that are English-speaking receive an outline when you arrive. Now, some of you think not a whole lot about the outline, and you know how I know that? Because when you are gone, I find this on your seat. Then I know what you think about it. But then they have some people that take them home. And Sunday afternoon and Monday night, they simply read it again, check the scriptures. Those are the people that are growing in faith. You grow in faith. But if you simply take the outline and put it at home, you got a stack like this. And you say, oh yeah, I've been in church, I got all these outlines. They're no good. You don't have them in your head. You got them on a shelf. This church is like a college, actually like a graduate school. I'm giving a lecture every week. You're getting the sermon notes every week. Now, if you don't go home and study that, don't blame me that you are stupid in faith. It's your choice. Let me tell you this story if I can get across this, if I remember it right. This is a college, and the students demanded of the teacher that they wanted to have a social experience. They wanted equality. The teacher said, fine. This is what we're going to do. He said this, I'm going to simply average out the grades. We all going to get the same grade. So he took the ones that are failing, the ones that are successing with A's, he averaged it out, and every student got a grade. The first test they had, they all got B's. That means the A students got dropped down, but the F students got up. The next test, everybody got a C. Because here's what happened. The good students simply said, well, we're not going to study because it doesn't matter how much we study. We're only going to get an average. And of course, the bums said, we don't have to study because these other guys are going to pull us up. The third time, everybody got an F. And then the teacher said, now, what do you want to be, socialists or capitalists? And they simply said, well, we learned a lesson. It's the same thing here. God will allow you to fail. He will allow you to succeed. It's up to you to eat. If you go to the grocery store and you buy all the stuff, put it in the refrigerator, put it away, and then you sit down at the table, get a plate out, fork and knives, a napkin, and you says, God, cook my food. You think an angel will come in and say, oh, we're going to cook your food for you. So an angel comes in and he cooks the food for you. You sit at the table. And he says, God, put the food in my mouth. So the angel says, okay, put the food in your mouth. And then he says, God, chew it for me. No. He will supernaturally supply you with food if you don't have money. He will give you jobs and stuff, but you got to cook it. You got to serve it. You got to eat it, and you got to chew it. Understood? Now get in the Word, do the same thing. Therefore, I say unto you what things you desire. When you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. The Holy Spirit spoke to me yesterday and said, there's going to be people late tomorrow. They're not going to know to change time. Then they heard another voice in my back simply saying this. Who do you think we are? Children? Don't tell us that. We can figure that out ourselves. I've been scolded too many times. I'm too helpful. Too kind. You know, I called people up. Well, I called one family up. Because I needed them here. And I decided, Okay, let the chips fall where they fall. And, of course, we had, you know, a weak showing this morning. I could have got in. I could have called Joanne and said, Joanne, she got a list of everybody. Call everybody, tell them time is changing. But you know what people tell us when we do that? Do you think we are stupid? Do you think we're Stone Age? I know stuff like that. Don't tell me that stuff. Okay. Won't tell you. It's a sad thing. I'm telling you right now. This is what you can't have. This is not a thing that you got to learn. You got to have some forgiveness here now. Let's look at verse number 25. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you've ought against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you trespasses. Here's a problem I had. In my family, we never said, I am sorry. We never said, I forgive you. That was not in our family. When something was good, we said nothing. When something was bad, we sang the song of complaint. And then God showed me, you have to forgive. Let me tell you this. The first time somebody came up to me years ago and said, John, I'm very sorry. Can you forgive me? I looked upon them. Something broke inside of me, and I said, I don't know. You know what I couldn't forgive? Because I felt so guilty myself. I felt I'm a no good person. I can't forgive. And if you cannot forgive, you are not whole on the inside. You are hurt. You have an inferiority complex. You have an insecurity problem. We need to be able to say, yes, I will forgive you. It took works for me to get to that place. But if we do not forgive, then God cannot work in our lives. Let me go back to verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things ever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Let me try to drive home one more point here. The first year I was in America, and I had to do income tax, I said, I did this in Sweden, I can do it here. I got my dictionaries out, and I filled out my income taxes. I did that for about 40-some-odd years. Then we got Ken West coming into the ministry. And people said, you going to have Ken do your taxes? I can do my own taxes. I don't need Ken. I'm doing just fine. Then the next year, I thought about it. And I said, Ken, can you do my taxes for me? He said, sure. Guess what? Every year, I had lost about 60% of a refund. Because a whole bunch of stuff I did not know. And I looked upon it and says, wow, you can deduct this? Yeah, you can deduct that. 40 years of stupidity. I said, Ken, please, thank you. God bless you. I'll be back next year again. You got to learn to trust and to have faith. Faith in God. God used Ken West to save me. Not $100, But $1,000. Is it a blessing? Yes. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be ye removed and be ye cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Get in the Word and begin to let God loose in your life. Most Christians are living in defeat. Not only are most Christians living in defeat, but they don't even know it. I thought I was a hot shot doing taxes. And I did not even know I was stupid. That's called a bliss of ignorance. If you do not know that something exists, you're not going to look for it. If you don't know you can have something, if you don't know the power, you're not going to be looking for it. Since very few churches are moving in the power of the Holy Spirit, believers in Christ have never heard there's the Holy Ghost power available, and therefore they simply accept their sicknesses, divorces, rebellion by children, loss of employment, and so on. Turn to Revelation 3:14. That's Revelation 3:14. I'm going to read from verse 14. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things that say, Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. That's Jesus speaking there. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would you were cold or hot. Most of us are lukewarm because nothing is happening. So then because you're lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Not long ago, I spoke to a person. And the person said, I'm so angry with God. I don't receive nothing. God does not hear my prayers. I'm poor, I'm this, I'm this, and that. And then the Holy Spirit said, ask him this question. I said, do you love God? He said, no. I really don't love God. And then I said, God to you is an ATM machine. You go and you put something in and you want something back, but you don't love God. This is another problem that many of us have. We really don't love God for who he is. We love God for what he can give us. And if that's your attitude, you're going to get nothing but heartaches. How many wives have not said this to their husbands? All you want is sex, but you never give me any love. I want to be talked to. I want to be fellowship with. I want to be treated like a human being. And the guy says, well, you know, I pay the rent. I pay car rent. I pay all these different things. What else do you want? And the woman says, I want you. I want fellowship. Person to person. God wants the same thing. He does not want to be treated like an empty machine. He wants to be treated like he is our Father. Because you say, I'm rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing, and knowest not that you are wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy me gold tried on the fire, that you may be rich in white raiment, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness do not appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, I repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Jesus is knocking on our door. He's simply saying this. Let's find out where you are. In Hosea 4:6, that's the book of Hosea. He's hiding next up to Daniel. I might be too fast for you. Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you. That you should be no priest, me seeing you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. People are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We need to have knowledge of the Word of God. Ezekiel chapter 34. Back a little ways. Ezekiel chapter 34. If you pick it up in verse number 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus is the Lord God to the shepherds. Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherd feed the flocks? You eat the fat, you clothe you with wool, you kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. Those are your television evangelists and your television preachers, not all of them, but most of them. I heard a guy just a few days ago, and I couldn't believe it. He said, there's going to be a blessing tonight. But it's not a blessing for everyone. It's only a blessing for those that can give $1,000. Now, if you want to be part of that, you give $1,000 and you are going to be blessed, the rest of you are not. You know what? There were enough stupid people to believe that. They will ship the $1,000 in. The guy is rolling in money. The reason the church is sick in America is because of the pastors and the evangelists and the deacons and the elders and the teachers. They have not put out the word. Verse 5. And they were scattered. Because there's no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field, but they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains, and upon every high hill, yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth. And none did search or seek after them. Every week, you see them out there. Sheep, hurt, burned out, wandering around. Listen to me now. You are the shepherds now. You might not have a degree. You might not be called a pastor or an evangelist. But you are a shepherd. In the marketplace. On the job. Wherever you are, you're a shepherd. And when you see those sheep scattered, love them. And begin to minister to them. And when you minister to someone, God will minister to you. As I live, says the Lord God, surely, let me read verse 7. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is for all pastors and evangelists. As I live, says the Lord God, surely, because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherd search my flock, but the shepherd fed himself and fed my flock. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. cause them to cease from feeding the flock, neither shall a shepherd feed himself any more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. Where is Jesus today? He's living inside of us. God the Father, God the Son lives inside of us. Seek out the sheep. You might not be able to reach the masses, but if you can reach one sheep and pray for them, get them going and on the right track, you have done a great work of God. A defeated Christian would be so low on faith that he would accept the status quo as long as he can eke out an existence. This is not living, but surrender to the devil, who is a pathological thief that robs everyone. John 10:10. The Gospel of John, chapter 10. And this is what Jesus said. The thief comes not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. If Satan is stealing your marriage, don't put up with it. Get help. I remember years ago that I did not know certain things what to do. And finally, I went to my pastor and we went out and sat someplace and I talked to him and I poured out my heart to him. Sometimes you get stuck. Get help. I did something stupid yesterday. We were cleaning out some things that we had a whole bunch of boxes that we cannot use, material we printed 12 years ago. So I had a little pickup truck, and I went down and checked the grass, and it, oh, it was good. So load up the pickup truck, took it down to, we're going to bury it, what are we going to do with it? Unloaded it, got in the pickup truck, and guess what? I just dug myself deeper and deeper. Try this, try that. And finally I realized, I need help. Talked to my brother. He said, let it sit until it dries. Then you can get it out. Get help. You see, so many times in marriages, people are simply going like this and they grind down until it's totally sore, bleeding. Stop. But then you says, well, you know, I don't trust this guy. I don't trust this guy. I'm going to spill my beans here or there, whatever it is. Pride. Find someone outside of ministry then that you can go to and say, I need help. If you don't, the thief will be there and steal from you every day. 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8. We've been there many times. We're going to be there many times. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. That's the devil. He's seeking whom he can devour. Let me read to you now for the outline. You will never break out from defeat if you do not read the Bible on a daily basis and take time for prayer. You will never break out from defeat if you attend a church where they used bastard Bibles and teaching nothing but fluff. If you are to follow television evangelists who are only emphasizing healing or prosperity preachers who tell you that money is going to flow to you. If you send the money, you don't have but charging it on your credit cards. Then the defeat is going to be worse. These preachers and evangelists have nothing to offer but more defeat, heartache, and wrecked finances. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let me tell you something about the religious business. If you watch a television program or radio program, and you feel, well, I want to help these people out, and you send them 10 bucks or 20, whatever it is, here's what happened. They will take your name and they will sell your name. In America, there are several corporations, and their job is to buy names and addresses from Christian ministries. And they put them into huge databases. And they use them with other facilities. And they simply, if you're white, black, red, whatever you are, how much money you make, what you like, and so on, it goes in a database. And that's why when you send to somebody, a month later you're getting letters here and letters there coming from all over the place. And you wonder, where did they come from? You just got sold, buddy. And of course, everyone has a blood-dripping appeal. We are going under. We're going to save America. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Please send us your money. It's a business racket. We do not sell our mailing list. I had people come to me and say, can we buy your mailing list? We give you some good money. I said, no, it's not for sale. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This knew also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despising of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. From this sort are they which creep into houses, and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Let's talk about yesterday's victories or defeats. Living in the past brings stagnation. It is like living in a prison from which you cannot break free. By always looking back, you cannot break loose from your childhood, the teenage years, the way it was before children were added to your marriage, the way it was before the children grew up and left home, and the death of spouses and loved ones. In a tough economy, we cannot look back at the way it was when a skilled laborer could make $40 per hour, but now has to settle for $50 an hour. It used to be that a college graduate could start a job with a salary of $60,000 per year. Those days are gone, have never come back. We have to adjust to the fact that the standard of living in America is now on the same level as it was in the 1940s. It ain't going to get better, folks. But some things, like the cost of gasoline, had never been lowered. It was possible in 1963 to purchase a gallon of gasoline for 19 cents, mail a letter for 4 cents, and purchase a brand new car for a mere $3,000. Those days are gone. I speak from personal experience. When I say it is hard to leave the great victories of the past, the moving of the Holy Spirit from 1970 to 1982 in Sweden and Finland, with large evangelistic meetings that reached thousands of people for Christ, was something I did not want to leave. I remember we were flying. They flew us from city to city. Took us in cars. It was a tremendous day. My wife and I used to look at color, slide for the meetings, listen to old recordings, and dream being able to go back to Sweden and Finland and do it all over again. Living in the past made me bitter, angry, and frustrated. And I always wondered why this wonderful time had to come to an end. I didn't want to move into the future and do the new things that God had for me. Let me say this to you. God allowed me and my wife to have all these great experiences in the time past, to teach us something. But then God shut the door and sent us into the valley, where He has strengthened us inside, given us stamina and power. And now I realize I have a new ministry that is different from the way we used to do it. But as times are changing, we must also change. The gospel is still the same and always will be. But the styles and the methods are going to change. My wife and I do no longer do any more deliverances. We've done hundreds and hundreds of deliverances. Some weeks we will do 3 or 4 deliverances a week. And God showed me, those days are over. Train others. You are to write. And teach. We used real tape recorders to make radio programs and send out copies to people when I started out as an evangelist. The ministry purchased equipment for this type of outreach for some $10,000 in 1975. But it only took a few years until this equipment was outdated and we had to move to cassettes and purchase duplication equipment for thousands of dollars because the old stuff was useless. For the next 20 years, we invested heavily into more equipment. And we ran ahead, on into the age of the video players. Again, new equipment was purchased for $1,000 so we could record our services and send out video cassettes to people. Those days are gone. Videotaping the service came to an end around year 2000. And all we had left were the weekly radio programs, audio recording on cassettes. 5 years later, God pulled the plug on our daily radio programs that I've been doing for some 30 years, and I went into total shock. How could God do this? What about the thousands of people listening to me every day? God didn't answer, and financially we were unable to sustain the radio ministry. I became very angry and bitter and began to stagnate. I don't like changes. In 1975, I purchased a standard typewriter for $25. And I used it to write my books and the sermon outlines. I refused to even think about a computer as it started to come out in the late 1980s. Finally, I was talked into buying one in 1993. And once I started to use it, I realized how much better it was after I'd retired my old typewriter. You got to learn. Move on. In 1997, the late Walter Gross from Michigan told me that the minister needed a website. My answer was, what for? He insisted, and so I told him he did not have the manpower or finances for it, but it was fine for me if he wanted to start one for the minister and run it from Michigan. I didn't realize the vast outreach of the internet, and this was where God was leading our ministry. God did not tell me when He closed down the radio programs that He was going to move us into webcasting. In 2008, the ministry prayed in some $40,000, and we were able to convert the church sanctuary to a video studio for which we record and stream the Sunday morning services and the Thursday night Bible study. I have learned my lesson that what we're doing today is not necessarily what we will be doing tomorrow. God has set me free, and he wants to set you free. Turn to Ecclesiastes. That's a book that you probably never have been in. And you find that after Psalms. That's how you find it. Find Psalms, then find Proverbs, and there is the book of Ecclesiastes. And we're going to turn to chapter 3. Chapter 3. There are some of you that are not good on computers. As long as you hate something, it's not going to work for you. If you don't like something, it's not going to work for you. You might as well get used to it. This is the computer age. Get with a program. And if this is where you don't want to be like the Amish people are, horse and buggies. If you're looking for Thomas Burns, a businessman, he used to be, he had one mixer, a couple of scrawny guys, and they would, you know, pull everything by hand. He got bigger jobs. Now he got a pump. They pumped the cement up most of the time. Foam, cutting machine, computers. He could have said, well, you know, I'm going to be the old-fashioned guy. You know, we're just going to go up with it and put it on by hand. He'll be left in the dust. If you want to be left in the dust, do nothing. But if you want to move on, stay with it. Listen to these verses. To everything, there's a season. And a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born. And a time to die. A time to plant. And a time to pluck that up which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. Don't forget that. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sue. A time to give silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. There you have it. Seasons. And you need to get out of the past. I have come to the place that I'm not going to look at the old slides anymore. I watch stuff when I get to the judgment seat of Christ. I don't watch it anymore. I can never get back Christian Life Ministers in Carmack. It's gone. We can never get back to the old place we've been. This is what we have now. We're going to have something in the future. We need to move on. And I had a question here. Has God set you free? For the time of Christ, the Jewish people have been living in the past. All I can think about the glorious days of Israel during the reign of David and King Solomon. They want that back with a Messiah they can control. Even the apostles initially thought like that. And in the book of Acts, chapter 1, we pick that up. They wanted to go back to the glory days. The glory days are gone. There are new glory days ahead of us. The book of Acts, the first chapter. And Jesus said, and being assembled together with them, verse 4, commanded them they should not depart from Jerusalem. But wait for the promise of the Father, which says he you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost on many day hence. When they therefore come together, he asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? That's all they could think about. Israel, the land, restoring it, the Messiah ruling the world. And Jesus said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witness to me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria unto the uttermost part of the earth. Finally, the book of Acts, they get out of the story. In John 18, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this earth. John 18 and verse number 33. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? Then Pilate Jesus answered, say you this thing of yourself, or did others tell it on me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Then, O nation and chief priest that delivered you to me, what have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servant fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. And then, the last scripture for today is in John chapter 15. Let me speak to you that have retired. You that have retired now from your regular job, you have a golden opportunity to serve God full time. You got money coming in. And you can simply say this, when I worked, I did this, I did that. Now I'm going to focus 100% on God's work. God will give you 120 years. He promised that. God will give you good health if you eat right, exercise, walk in Him, and be with Him. You don't have to be sick. You can die healthy at 120. You that are younger, think about, I'm going to rebuild my life. I'm going to get rid of all the old stuff. We're going to live in the now and in the future. Don't remember the old hash. Get rid of your list and become new again. John 15, 1. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that he may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean for the word God has spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bring forth not fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Here's what I have done in my life. We lived fairly good life in Salt Lake City when I was in engineering. Those days are gone. I will never again go back to Salt Lake City and work in engineering. It's history. We had a great time at the seminary. It was so exciting. With the students and preaching and everything else. But those days are gone. They will never come back. Oh, we had great times in Europe. Meetings. People. Healings. All kind of good stuff. But those days are gone. We've been in this town. This is the second church in this town. This is what we have now. It used to be we do a lot of different things. Today, we're focusing on the end times, deliverance, saving people, finding the scattered sheep. And you and I in this together. You realize this. I'm standing here today. I'm being broadcast around the world, wherever they want to pick me up. because there are three people back in the sound booth that have dedicated their life every Sunday to produce a webcast. Without them, I wouldn't even get outside this door. Without you ministering with your tithes and offerings, we couldn't have this place. Without you praying, without the team, without all the people doing different things, we couldn't do a lot of things. And some of you might be saying, "Vitno, but I'm not part of the church. I'm not working in the church." The church is everywhere. Wherever you go, there's a ministry. So I want to ask you this, my close. Are you ready to get out of the past? Remember, it is not so important how you begin your life at the salvation, but how you finish. Are you willing to admit your problem right now and simply say, "This is my problem, whatever it is. I'm admitting it, and I'm giving it to Jesus. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired." Let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, it's a privilege, Lord. I've been able to confess publicly what's been in my heart, Lord. And I thank you, Father God, you have set me free for the past. What I thought were glory days in the past is gone. But I'm going to have greater glory days in front of me, because you're going to have a greater harvest. And Father God, as time is moving on, be moving with you and with time. And I thank you, Father God, the message is the same. The Bible has not changed, but the methods are changing. The approach is changing. And I thank you, Lord, that you're moving here today with men and women. Give them hope. Give them a hope of great things to come. And Father God, those that are stuck in the past, bad memories, good memories, whatever it is, help them today to break loose and to say, "Jesus, let me come to you right now. Let me get out of the boat and walk with you since you're on the water." Your people need you, Lord. Touch them. As I pull my say aside right there, the altars are open for you that are here in this building. The altars are open for you that are watching us right now and later. Kneel, pray, talk to God, call us, and God will meet your need. In Jesus' name, amen. Elders, deacons, musicians.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something? Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just 1 commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5, 7-8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the first part in the series Stop Living in the Past and was entitled Admit Your Problem. Human beings are sentimental, which makes it easy for us to live in the past, but doing so will have a crippling effect because it is hard to move forward when you are stuck in the past. In this first message, Pastor John stressed that faith is the key to success. But if it is absent, then your life will be mediocre and filled with defeat. Sadly, most Christians are not aware that they are living in defeat and never take any action. In order to break loose, it is important to detect lack of faith and identify the defeats in your life. If you are living a victorious life, this message was a great reminder of your success. But if you are not, this message helped you to identify where you are and what you have to do to cut loose. It is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1229. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.